Good morning, everyone. I'm Jim Jaquetta, CTO and founder of Vitovation. Today, I have my good friend, Florian Kolmer, who's sales director for the US at AviWest. Florian is more than your typical salesperson. He's a network engineer. He knows the AviWest product line inside and out. He knows IP networking, IP transport inside and out. And he's gonna tell us today about some new things that would have been announced at NAB this year. So this is, I'm really looking forward to your presentation today, Florian.
Thank you, Jim. I hope you're all doing well and staying safe during this particular time.
Yes.
Today, in part of our season of new webinars, we have been deciding to make a virtual NAB webinar to replace what we were looking to announce and showcase during the show. So if you have been missing some of the previous webinars, you can watch them online. Some of them have been dedicated to remote production. Some of them are dedicated to AviWest products. And there will be more coming. Another one coming next week would be about 5G technologies. We'll speak about 5G today, but not as much in detail as the next webinar is planned for. Right. So this one is more about the specific new products we are launching now, new technologies and how they will change workflows for broadcast production.
So thank you, Florian. And you mentioned other webinars. Vitovation has been doing a webinar every Wednesday. There's a series of four webinars from AviWest, from Florian. This is the second in the series, so please sign up for those. Florian and I would like to know, where you folks are at in your bonded cellular usage. Do you folks use bonded cellular right now? Is it something you're considering? Is it already in your workflow? Is it planned for your workflow? Or you really don't know, no one has planned for it yet, or you don't have any future plans. So if you guys could take a quick second to let us know where you guys are at, that'd be great. I can see now the votes are coming in. And then I'll close it. And then let me see, I'll share. So it seems, more than two thirds of you are using bonded already. So good for you. You've been using this technology for a while. A third of you are not using it, but plan to. And I guess everyone has some plan or is currently using bonded. So no one has eliminated bonded cellular as an option in their transmission and contribution and distribution plans. So let me hide this. You have control, Florian?
Yes, I do.
Great.
Thank you, Jim. And again, thank you all of you to join today. So let's start with this virtual NAB. So as you have been answering, most of you are already using bonded cellular technologies. Some of you are planning to do so in the future. So I'm sure all of you know already what bonded cellular is. So I won't make an introduction to this well-known technology now. What I want to start it with, and it's this Emmy Award story. So over the last 2 years, we have been very delighted to be awarded at NAB with an Emmy Award for our bonding technology. So it's the second year in a row we are getting this award. Unfortunately, we missed the ceremony this year, but still we got that Emmy. So this Emmy Award is about our bonded cellular technology, which is called SST. So SST is our proprietary IP protocol being used in all AviWest products, providing a very reliable and robust transmission path over unmanaged IP networks. Unmanaged IP networks, of course, can be cellular, but it can be public Wi-Fi, public landline internet, or best effort satellite services. So SST stands for Safe Stream Transport. As part of some other webinars, we have been talking more about this technology. So I really recommend you to have a look on this other webinar.
Sorry to interrupt, Florian. There is a very good webinar on SST. I believe it was back in October of last year. You can find it in our blog with Florian's counterpart, Samuel Fleischacker, their product manager. Does a very, very detailed webinar.
Right, and we did another one recently as well, especially showing the new features we have been implementing in this SST protocol. So, but quickly, the SST protocol is not only bonding, it's all the mechanisms for robust transmission, doing two-dimension forward error correction, AERQ, multi-camera gen lock over IP that's dedicated for remote production, frame accurate lock over IP, and it's also providing a more advanced use case, making an IP bridge so you can remotely control PTZ cameras or IP-based equipment remotely from your master control. So, how is this protocol being used quickly? That's showing the two parts of the IV West ecosystem and workflow. So all our products can be used for live feed contribution, but also for content distribution and sharing. So I guess all of you have already been using Bondit Cellular from the field back to the station. So that's being done using our SST technology, mostly over cellular networks and Wi-Fi on the move. But then it's also being used more and more for content distribution and sharing over the public internet. So here on this diagram, you can see an example about sharing your live program and can be 24/7 between your master control room and regional offices or affiliate stations, for example, here. So then it's using the same SST protocol between the IV West receivers.
So Florian, if you hold on this slide a sec. So one of the challenges we see at Vidovation is maintaining that frame accurate gen lock between cameras and lip sync. Now, when you say no gen lock needed, what that means, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, Florian, it means you don't need to send a gen lock signal to each camera. If you were doing a hardwired production at a ballpark, you know, you would run a gen lock to each of the stationary cameras. You send the camera feeds through the AVI West system without providing a reference to the camera. All you need to do is provide a reference signal to the receiver on the studio side, and everything is magically frame accurate. And I tease Florian and his colleagues. They're very modest about it, or a matter of fact about it. No one else can do this. No one else can do this over an unmanaged network like cellular or the public internet.
Yeah, you're perfectly right, Jim. And it's key for remote production and all the other workflow. You will need to physically genlock your encoders in the field. Whereas here with the SST protocol and our technology, the genlock information is sent remotely from the receiving end to the encoders in the field. So no wires, nothing. It's a genlock over IP feature working over cellular or Wi-Fi or whatever you are using. It's frame accurate. And another part which is key for remote production with this technology is that we are providing a guaranteed delay. So the delay is constant, the latency is constant, and all your cameras are perfectly genlocked, so you can do remote switching and production. Also, we are providing a low latency transmission, which is something key for live production. Another part, and I will talk a bit more later on this, a new feature is that we are now providing a low latency video return feed, which can be used for monitoring, it can be used for remote teleprompting as well, and for production. So that's a new feature we have been implementing a few months ago, and we were planning to showcase at NAB, so that will be done virtually here. As you can guess here about the distribution part, it's of course multi-destination distribution. And with our technology, you can not only distribute to your other offices or stations, but you can also broadcast on social media and any CDN online as well. And that can be done simultaneously, of course. A last point maybe on this slide, I've been speaking about unmanaged networks, but of course you can use a managed network as well. So right. If you have dedicated fiber and a dedicated network infrastructure between your studios and offices, you can run the SST technology on those links as well, even if it's a private network without a public internet connection. It's working on any IP-based network, not only public.
Well, you make a good point there, Florian, that some government agencies don't want the signal going through the vendor's gateway, et cetera, that you could run this securely on a 100% closed or private network if that's what you choose.
Right. And you're anticipating a bit, Jim, but that's the subject of one of the other slides during this webinar.
Oh, shoot, I blew it.
5G, because there are plans for 5G private networks.
Ah, gotcha.
So our solution, maybe some of you have been using bonded cellular mostly for news for now, but it's a technology which is really developing and deploying quickly. And now it's not only for news, but it's also for remote at-home production, for sports, entertainment, also for mobile journalism using smartphones as a camera, for live distribution and content sharing as well. And the idea is really to have a full ecosystem based on the AVOS technology and the SST protocol, to have a unified workflow, single management interface, to make it easy to use and efficient. So, and it's working on the move. That's why we are mentioning vehicle here. It's fully working on the move.
Well, to that point, our production partner, Big Fish Entertainment, tried other cellular solutions for their live PD show with cop cars going 120 miles an hour. AVOS was the only technology that was robust enough or capable of such an aggressive application. I think, you know, traditional bonded was for a single camera operator on a tripod on the courthouse steps doing an interview without moving. So it's a testament. Some of the applications we've done together with AVOS, Vidovation and AVOS, is a testament to how good and robust the technology really is from AVOS.
Right. You have been mentioning this remote production for live entertainment with the live PD show. It's the same technology and same kind of workflow which is used for sports. And it has been used, for example, for the Ryder Cup to do remote production between the golf course in France and the Master right. Control Center using 16 live cameras.
Right, right.
And this was a tier one show, sports production, having Genlock over IP was key, and having frame accurate Genlock over IP was key for this event in particular.
Turner was worried that they would have to have 16 frame synchronizers in master control. Also, AVOS, a lot happens in the small details, and I'll give you an example. A few days before the Ryder Cup, the production company was shooting the golf match in Paris, and the local production crew shot it in 50 frames per second. At the last minute, the production people in master control at Turner were like, oh my God, we're going to need 16 scan converters to convert from 50 hertz to 5994. AVOS does it inside their box. So you just picked, even though the source came in at 50 hertz, we just set the output to 5994, and the transcoding or the scan conversion actually happened in the AVOS platform. saving the project. I mean, they wouldn't have been able to get 16 of these scan converters in 24 hours, 48 hours.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, quickly to explain this picture on this slide, that's also a remote production show, which usually was produced in a TV studio. And with the lockdown measures, they have been moving this show and they're producing it from home. So you saw during this time a lot of home-based production for news, weather forecasts, whatever. Many of them are done with smartphones, but you can do a higher quality professional production like they are doing here. So they do have monitoring, they do have multi-camera on tripods, and all the studio based at home. And at the foreground of the picture, at the bottom, you can see one of the Heavy West bonded cellular units just being on the couch and doing the live talk.
I can tell it has its battery on the side and it sits a little crooked like that when it has the battery on it. You touched on it earlier, and I apologize if I'm foreshadowing a future slide. We are getting a lot of requests for the bonded hotspot and the bonded VPN capability that, like this gentleman producing a TV show from home, not only does he need video transmission, but he needs good internet connection for communications, for other pieces of the workflow. So the bonded internet and the bonded VPN capability of Avi West has been in high demand the last couple of weeks here in the US.
Right, that wasn't part of this webinar today, but it's part of some other webinars, so you're welcome to watch them online.
Awesome.
Yeah. So the first topic of today and what we were planning to showcase at NAB is the introduction of 5G technologies in our hardware-based encoders. So you're probably aware about a series of products called the Pro 3 and the S series. The Pro 3 on the left is designed to be mounted on Anton Bauer cameras, can be backpacked as well. And the Air product is a smaller one with an internal battery to carry on a belt or in a small pouch bag or on a small tripod as well. Both products, they do have embedded modems inside. The Pro 3 has 4 or 8 cellular modems built in. The Air unit has up to 4 modems. The antennas are built in as well. So on both products, you do have high gain patented antennas we have been designing, which are making a big difference when you are in a crowded environment, like in a stadium or a venue with a lot of smartphone users and cellular users, but also when you are in a remote environment, like covering a fishing event on a remote lake, for example. Those high gain antennas are making a big difference, are saving your day as well on this kind of production. So here we are working for quite a long time with 5G modems manufacturers. We got the very first engineering samples from some manufacturers to integrate in our products. And now we have some units available, and we will be shipping in the coming months the Pro 3 and the Air with 5G modems. So what will it do exactly? It's not going to be USB modems or external 5G hotspot. It's embedded modules and antennas which are in the unit, supporting all 5G frequency bands being deployed in the US, in Europe, in Asia, on the sub-6 gigahertz bands. And of course, those modules will support 3G, 4G networks as well. So they are compatible with all worldwide networks. What it will do, if you're already familiar with the Pro 3 series, for now we have two models, one with 4 modems, one with 8 modems. With the introduction of 5G, there will be 6 modems inside the units, and there will be an upgrade pass for our existing customers who want to upgrade their units to 5G. So that will be a basic modems replacement. For the Air units, As you may already know, we have two range of products. We have the entry range H264 models and the higher end HEVC models. Both are using two 3G, 4G modules for now, and they will be upgraded with two 5G modules.
So Florian, if somebody owns a Pro 3, how do they get it upgraded? You know, can I, if I buy a 3G, 4G unit today, how do I get it upgraded to 5G? What do I do?
You have just to ship back the unit for a modem's replacement, and we will ship it back to you.
Okay, okay. And if a customer needs to borrow a unit from Vidovation during the swap out, we can arrange make arrangements for that too. If during the transition, if we have inventory for a loaner or a rental.
Right. So. That's the units are already available, and we are going to ship in production very soon on that. I wanted to explain a bit more about 5G because we are going to do another webinar. But in case you are not available to attend quickly, 5G will be a big move for broadcast production, sports production, not only by providing a higher bandwidth and a lower latency. But there are a lot of different technologies included in the 5G, which will make a big difference. For example, we start testing with some customers 5G NPN networks. What does NPN stands for here? It stands for non-public networks, which means you will be able to make your own 5G networks in a closed environment, like you could do with Wi-Fi or microwave. So we see that many of the existing technology, especially Wi-Fi and microwave, may merge as well into 5G. And there will be some licensed frequency bands, the public ones, but some unlicensed bands as well, to be able to make your own network in a venue or a stadium, for example. And you will be able to combine and use the same product for both public networks, long range, and private networks. So that's called NPN. Also for now, and the first deployment using the 5G technology are still relying on the 4G core networks. So it's only the radio part which is being updated for now. But in the coming years, and especially starting in 2022, but we are already working on that at Avi West with some technology labs and some development companies, there will be a 5G core network as well. 5G core network will give you more advanced capabilities like network slicing. That's a demo we did already at IPC last year in Amsterdam, which will provide you a guaranteed service as well.
So basically that gives you, it's a form of QoS on your 5G connection, correct?
Right.
Quality of service.
Right. Right. So then in a nutshell, to explain you what those two encoders are doing, they are all capable of doing, of course, live video transmission from any SDI, HDMI sources. They can record, of course, they can forward recorded files. What's key is that in those two products, you have two separate HEVC encoders built in, so you can do live and record simultaneously in two different qualities. A variable for live and constant bitrate for record. You can also do record and simultaneous forward. So that's a kind of a near live production if you want to get your records as soon as possible in your master control for post-production. It's a near live workflow in which you are recording and simultaneously forwarding. The difference between both can be little, but the first one is live and record, which is live, variable quality. The second one is near live, which means you have a guaranteed quality. It might take longer to send the file, but you have a guaranteed quality. And then the two other features are the data hotspots Jim was mentioning before. So it's not only sharing the internet connection in the field using bonded cellular, but it's also a kind of a VPN connection over our bonded cellular technology over SST, and it's making an IP bridge. which means if you are connecting third-party equipment in the field, you will have secured private access to your studio environment and your third-party workflows and equipment from the field. And the other way, you will be able from the studio to remotely control PTZ camera, any IP-based switcher or equipment.
So yeah, I think you were telling me, Florian, too, that you can set it up where the assets in the field can be on the same subnet as the master control, making the networking basically you're extending your corporate or your enterprise or your master control network to the field, and it's all secure, of course.
Yeah, it's both ways. It means with this technology in the field, you will be at home as well.
There you go. So, okay. It takes at home to another level. Yes.
Right. And then the last major feature in those products, which is new, and I will speak a bit more about this later in this webinar, is the video return feature. So you will be able to have a video return feed in the field. And that will come a bit later in this webinar. So, not later, but now, sorry.
Later within, meaning 2 seconds from now.
Yeah. So, how does it work? It's quite advanced, and that's why we have a dedicated slide to show you. It's not necessarily a basic confidence feed, single one. It's one-to-one and one-to-any video return. So let me show you the full slide here. It means you are covering here kind of elections in the field with three cameras. You are sending your live feed, that's the black arrows, to your master control room, to your streamer receiver. Then you can decode it over SDI, of course, for your production. And then using the rack 100 units, I will explain just after, you will be able to encode your program back to the field. So it's getting through the stream up through the same SST tunnel bonding technology, and you will be able to return multiple program feeds to different units. So it means, for example, you have one program sent to site number 1 and 2 in blue, and another program being returned by the same stream up server to the site number 3.
Now, is this, I think there's systems out there where the return is, like you said, more of just for confidence. It's not production quality or broadcast quality. Is this a full bandwidth return feed, full quality?
So, yes, it's a full bandwidth return feed. So, of course, it can be used for monitoring. It can be used for teleprompting. But it can be also used to get your program back in the venue to broadcast it on a large screen, for example.
Well, I think we've seen for some of the high school sports, one of the shortcomings of for sports when you're doing an at-home production, assuming we ever have fans in a stadium again, Florian, I don't know, but hopefully we get fans in the stadium again. So if you're doing the whole production at home, how do you send instant replay feeds to the big screen in the venue? So this technology could be used to send a full bandwidth instant replay feed back to the venue for the fan experience.
Right. Yes, exactly. And one of the feature you can do as well, we will show it a bit later, but you can return a multi-view with all cameras as well for monitoring. That's a bit later.
Again, for confidence. So like in the case of Turner Sports, we had an HE 4000 sending four program feeds back to the venue. I mean, they were doing interviews across the pond, but one of those feeds could have a multi-view of all 16 cameras. So back at the venue, they can see did all the ISO cameras make it to Atlanta, and then they could see it back in Paris that the feeds actually got there.
Yes, this feature wasn't available 2 years ago. So yes, they have been reproducing, but they would have saved half of the equipment almost to do that.
Right.
So you can get live both ways. It's a full duplex live transmission here.
Okay.
And then last thing I didn't mention on this slide, it's a low latency video return feed. So it's less than 1 second, a sub-second end-to-end return video feed.
Well, that's important.
So as you saw on the previous slide, in your master control, you need a new product for that, which is called the Rack series. That's a new product we are launching now, which is already shipping. It's called the Rack 200 and the Rack 300. It's a half 1U rack product, so you can put two side by side in a 1U rack mount enclosure. And it's providing high video quality. So we have two different models. The Rack 200 is H.264 and the Rack 300 is HEVC. They are compact, low power equipment. They have the same feature as the Pro 3 units and Air units. So you can do live, record, forward, do live and record, record and forward. You have a full duplex intercom like on the Pro 3 and the Air as well. And it can be used for video return. So
well,
those are...
Sorry, Florian, I see one key feature too that maybe we should concentrate on that no one else does. Is analog audio in on your products.
Yes.
We one of the first sporting events that's coming back in the US is PGA, is golf. So mm-hmm. I assume there'll be no fans on the fairway, but you know, golfers can be spread out and keep social distancing. So we're doing a PGA event next week, and microphones on the talent, feeding them into the Avi West Air or the Pro or the new rack. It's this you see right here, this mini XLR intercom, IFB, and analog audio. That has been a key feature. The PGA even on some of the feeds wanted no video. So we put the transmitter in test pattern mode in order to carry the audio through, and then the analog audio inputs work for extra audio channels.
Right. Basically, in all those encoders, you can encode 4 audio channels embedded in the SDI or HDMI signal, but you can add some analog audio as well. So you've got those two
right.
mini connectors for analog audio
right.
in
That's been very helpful for a lot of our customers' workflow, the analog audio in.
Right. So on those rack mount units, you have a dual power supply as well. You got SDI and HDMI in. You got SDI out. That's a loop back just for monitoring. And you got HDMI out. That's for the return video feed. Because, of course, I mentioned before that this rack mount unit can be used to encode the video return. But you can also use this rack mount unit in the field for contribution and also receive the video return on the same unit. They are sharing the same internal hardware as camera mounted devices, the Pro 3 series, in a rack mount enclosure. And then, of course, you got two landline connections, two Ethernet ports, so you can use Wi-Fi, Ethernet, and 3G, 4G with the external quad cell link modems.
I see a very important feature here too. When you rack mount an encoder, it's very important to have two power supplies. People want the dual redundancy. And a lot of times in a smaller encoder like this, that's an oversight. So I think that's very, Samuel was doing his job very well when he put two power supply ports on the rack
right.
series. You agree?
Yeah, definitely. So, it is integrating in the workflow. If you are very aware about the Avi West workflow, that's very easy to understand. Like all as the Avi West encoders, it's using the SST protocol, using all bonded internet connection or IP connections to send your live feed to the streamer in the master control. So it can use landline, it can use Wi-Fi, it can use satellite services, and it can use cellular using the quad cell link antennas. So quickly, for those who are not aware about the quad cell link, It's a small magnetic box you can put on the roof of a truck, you can put in an helicopter even. We have some customers doing live from helicopters using this, or outside a building or a venue. And it has four antennas, four cellular antennas and four modems inside. You just plug it at the back of the rack and it's giving four cellular connections to the rack mount unit. If you want, you can connect two of those to get eight modems. Similar
well,
to the Pro
Series. Maybe we should clarify a little bit. So the Pro Series, the camera mount unit or the backpack unit or the Air, all have internal modems. You mentioned that the Rack 2 and the Rack 3 has the same boards as the Pro, but it has no cellular modems in it, correct? So you need the external quad cell link, which each add four modems. You can use one or two of them to add four or eight modems to the rack or the HE. For any of the rack-mounted encoders, you have to use the external modems with the quad cell link, correct?
Right. It's making sense because the rack mount product is not designed to be mobile outside. It's designed
right.
to be more in a truck, in a venue, in a studio environment. So
right.
having the antenna outside is definitely making more sense to have a better signal and performances.
Some customers would use the rack or the HE in a flyaway rack or a flyaway kit and then have the quad cell link antennas maybe mounted on the top of the rack and bring the rack into the venue. And there's other equipment in this rack for the production. So it depends on your workflow. And Florian and I and Vidovation and Avi West will help you design a system, make the proper recommendation for your workflow, which configuration makes the most sense for you.
Right. We are always available to fine-tune that and match your workflow and requirements. Yeah. So that's about the new rack series we are launching now. The next subject is about our Mojo Pro product. So some of you might already be aware about this. We did a webinar about this last week. That's a software-based solution and encoder for smartphones. So we launched that years ago, but we have been releasing a new major release with version 3 of the Mojo Pro, which is supporting the latest iOS 13 version, the iPhone 11. We have been adding new camera settings. So in this app, you can do, of course, already white balance, manual focus, ISO, but we have been adding some other capabilities like supporting the latest cameras you got on the iPhone 11, for example. And it's using the same SST protocol for the live transmission to the streamer receiver. So it's doing bonding as well. So we have been doing low-level development on iOS to be able to bond your Wi-Fi and your cellular modems, which means you can have an internal SIM card from AT&T in your phone and an external Verizon or T-Mobile hotspot in your pocket to bond two 4G connections together. Then it's doing the same variable bitrate encoding for order correction AAQ as the hardware-based encoders. So that's
So Florian and I did a full hour presentation on Mojo Pro and mobile journalism last week. I just put the transcript, and you can watch the video. Visit our blog; you'll be able to find it. So that's a very very. If you're interested in mobile journalism, look for that in our blog. You can find that recording.
Right. Yeah. And the Mojo Pro can do the same kind of features, live, record, forward, live and record. So, and you have an intercom feature as well. And what's unique on smartphones is that you can do video editing as well. So you can record some clips, you can crop them, you can add some voiceover, add some audio track, adjust audio level, put some graphics like logo and banners, add some metadata and push your production to the TV station. What's new and we have been adding are two features. So first one is being able to deploy a fleet of smartphones using Media Mobile Manager. So it's called MDM technology. on a standard use case, you are just downloading the app on Apple Store, configuring it to connect to your StreamYard receiver and start using it. But if you are a major organization and you are deploying a fleet of hundreds of smartphones, they are probably connected to your company mobile manager system to deploy softwares and apps and to deploy configuration. And that's now compatible with our Mojo Pro as well. So you can easily deploy the app with all the parameters, the live video profile, the StreamYard destination servers as well. In the Mojo Pro here.
Yeah, so it's not difficult to set up, but you might be sending low tech people into the field, and as Florian said, then the software just appears on their phone, already configured, everything's all set up. All they have to do is hit live. But if you have to do it manually, AVIWEST documentation is very clear, or Vitovation or AVIWEST support. We'll step you through the process to get your Mojo app set up properly.
Yes, and another major new feature we have been implementing in our Mojo Pro software as well, which is also available in the Pro 3 and S series and Rack series, but Rack series it's less useful here. It's a mission-centric workflow. So right. What is if you are using an RCS system like Avid or Dalet or EVS, you can create mission stories to send to your crew. So how it is working here, your newsroom system will be connected to the AVIWEST manager product. It will gather the list of encoders from the manager. Then you can create a mission into your EVS Avid environment, assign it to a field unit, which can be a Mojo Pro, a smartphone here in this example, but it can be a Pro 3 or Air series as well. And then when your team in the field will turn on the device, they will see a list of mission. They can pick a mission, and then all the live and recorded content they will produce will be pushed through the AVIWEST StreamYard receiver into your media asset management environment, along with the metadata. So it's really easing the workflow and the production. It's doing it automatically, basically, and it's providing all the metadata and enriching your content. So for indexing, for production, and so on. So this is making the workflow easier, and it's making, depending on your workflow, the StreamYard manager fully transparent and integrated in third-party solutions. So that's
well, let me ask you, Florian. I think I know the answer to this, but this slide shows the media-centric workflow for the Mojo Pro, but the media-centric workflow works with the Air and the Pro as well, right?
Yes, it's exactly the yeah. same feature. When you will turn right. on your Pro or your Air product, you will see a list of mission on the touchscreen. You can just right. click on the mission, and it's similar to the smartphone here.
Right, right, right.
That's what you can see on this slide here. So you will see a list of mission being displayed. You can enrich, adding some description and metadata. And then all the content you are producing, you can see here a screenshot of our Mojo Pro main interface, main UI here. Everything will be followed with metadata and information. So that's the small icon you can see on top of the screen here. It means you are part of a mission-centric workflow integrated. Yeah, and as you can see quickly on this screenshot, you can see that it's bonding Wi-Fi and cellular, and you have some advanced camera control like ASO, white balance. You can display your grid, choose your camera, adjust your audio level here. But that's part of the webinar of last week.
Well, I see this as a very powerful tool, Florian. You know, everyone now, they want to send minimal people in the field. You know, we have to keep social distancing. So, you know, sending a camera operator with the talent, sending a technician, using something like the Mojo Pro app, you could produce a whole show. You could go live, or you could capture your content, do some quick edits, do some a voiceover, add some graphics, and then push your producer a fully produced segment right from your phone, right in the field, right?
Right, right. And you can produce, you're right, a multi-camera live show entirely based on smartphones. So right. In remote environment under lockdown from home, but also in a studio or in a room or wherever, you can put multiple smartphones on tripods with different point of views. All the feeds you are receiving remotely are perfectly genlocked as well using our Mojo Pro solution. So right. You can do right. Camera production live with this app.
Right.
The next subject of this webinar is improvements of our StreamUp product. So the StreamUp product, to refresh your memory, in our workflow is our receiver, decoder, and distribution product all in one box. Box meaning physical box or virtual box in the cloud, of course. So it's version 3.3 we are launching now. And it's providing new features, but just to remind you about the existing one, it's a gateway between all the IP streaming technology and SDI. So in a single StreamUp appliance, you can receive up to 16 live feeds coming from any AVOS encoders, but also third-party IP inputs. So we are supporting all standard IP-based protocol like RTMP, HLS, SRT, MPEG-TS as well, both in push and pull modes. And then we have SDI outputs in the StreamUp if you have a physical appliance, and we do have IP streaming outputs as well, supporting the same range of protocols. So it's a gateway from different IP protocols together and from IP to SDI as well. And the new rack mount unit is a good product as well if you want to ingest an SDI program into this workflow as well. So for the video return feed or for streaming as well, online streaming.
Well, I think you mentioned it, Florian, the live transcode, that is a very powerful feature. And some of the new encode and transcode features in there, why are they important? If you're using, say, the Rack 3 or the Pro 380 in HEVC, not everyone has the ability to decode HEVC yet. And many of the social media networks, many of the CDNs will not accept an HEVC signal yet. So you need to, we want to bring it from the field to the AVIWEST StreamHub efficiently as possible with the highest possible quality, the lowest possible bit rate with HEVC, but then we have to come out IP H.264 and right. You can transcode that.
Yeah, you've been faster than me. I was going to speak about those transcoding, Kevin.
I blew it again, see?
Running up front.
Sorry.
That's part of the StreamUp platform as well. So apart from the streaming in and outputs, we added like a few months ago, that's not new, but we have been improving it. We have been adding some transcoding capabilities. So it's not just on the output, it's in the middle between inputs and outputs. You can now transcode from HEVC to H.264, from variable bitrate to constant bitrate, from a dynamic resolution of a cellular to a constant resolution. And that's key because you still have some social media supporting only H.264.
Right.
You will have some of your customers, decoders, or third-party products supporting only constant bitrate. So with the same live feed, you can create multiple transcoding profiles to multiple destinations. And what has changed quickly, but I think you're aware about that, Jim, now you can do a single transcoding to multiple IP destinations. If all your customers need the same kind of format,
right.
You can do that single transcode.
Yeah, Florian and I have deployed a beta of the new software is coming out Friday, I believe, right? We're working with, during this COVID crisis, a state police, I don't want to mention the names, but for privacy purposes, but some of the local broadcasters don't have an IRD available with HEVC, or they want to go to social media, and you route the signal. So the IP signals come in, the IP signals come out, and instead of picking an input for an output, you pick an internal transcoder or encode, and you make your profiles. I really like how the new infrastructure, the new routing within the Stream Hub, the workflow, right? It's maybe you probably can do a better job describing it than I can, but it's very, very nice, very intuitive, I think.
Okay, it's you have been describing it well, and we will have some future news in the coming months about the interface as well, but that's a bit early. But yes, another point is that on the StreamHub interface, which is web-based, you can manage all your transmission, you can remotely control all your equipment, including your smartphones in the field. We are always speaking a lot about live production and live transmission, but this technology is also designed for file-based workflow as well. So it can automate file transfer to third-party MAM, external solutions. You can push or pick files as well, automatically ingest them with ingest script as well. Another feature we have been launching a few months last year already, you can also generate a full frame rate multi-view. If you are doing especially remote production with many cameras, for monitoring purposes, you might be, for now, plugging all the SDI outputs into a mosaic generator. This feature now is built in the StreamHub, so with the 16 input channels, including third-party IP input feeds, you can generate a 4x4 multi-view. And of course, you can decode it into your master control over SDI, but you can also distribute it over IP for monitoring purposes. So that's a new feature as well. And of course, you can have some overlay information with the name of the location or feed or whatsoever, and you can pick which audio you want to listen to as well, these kind of features. So the StreamHub, I've been speaking about the appliance. It can be an hardware OneRU server you host in your server room, but it can be virtualized in the cloud as well. So it can be installed in any cloud-based environment like AWS, Google, Microsoft Azure, or so on. What's new, and that's something we are introducing for a few months, that's more to integrate with other manufacturers. We are also delivering this StreamHub piece of software as a Docker container. So if you are aware about Docker technology, it's allowing you to integrate piece of software into cloud-based solutions. So that's typically what companies like EVS or Dalet or we are working with now, some cloud-based production platforms can do. They can integrate the StreamHub as a Docker container, so our field units on coders can directly stream into their production environment. So that's using our Docker technology. So we have been mentioning here, you have a list of all the protocols we are supporting on the StreamHub platforms. Basically, all of them are supported both on input side and output side. So the SST, you know, remember that it's our bonding technology, can be received, but can be also distributed to other StreamHub appliances you might have in your regional offices, for example, or affiliates. And then you got all the standard IP-based protocols. What's new, and we were going to showcase and announce at NAB, is the NDI support. So we are going to integrate, and by the end of the year, support NDI inputs and NDI output as well on the StreamHub platform. So that's key for production. And we are going to integrate SMT 2110 as well. Many broadcasters are looking at 2110 to move away from SDI. It's taking time, having a cost, a bit difficult to deploy on a large scale environment in your studio. but some of our customers start moving to 2110 in the studio. So we are going to support that as well. And in this case, the AVWest technology will be a perfect gateway between a local environment over uncompressed IP using SMT 2110 and longer range over unmanaged public networks using the SST protocol. And yeah, that's why we're integrating 2110 as well.
So a customer could have two studios with infrastructure with 2110 and then use two stream hubs to bridge those two studios together through the public internet using SST in between. Obviously, the SST would have to compress it in order to get it through the public internet, but it would be a way to bridge the two facilities together.
Yeah, right. It's really dedicated to connect the two worlds of uncompressed and compressed.
Yeah. Right.
So this way, it's probably one of the most versatile solution and platform you can find on the market, supporting all kinds of technology and protocols here. This is also key to make use of that if you are mixing unmanaged and managed networks. So we got more and more customers. The SST protocol and AVWest technology is giving them a solution for the first mile distance over public networks and managed networks, especially if you're on the move, and then having a gateway into their managed environments over fiber or whatever. So I've been quickly mentioning the multi-view generator. So that's built in the StreamHub. You can have all kind of video sources, including files as well. So you can play back files as an input into the StreamHub and integrate that player into the multi-view as well. And this multi-view can be decoded and distributed over IP, as I mentioned before. You got up to 16 in and 16 out in the StreamHub, and you can see that you can have a multi-view with up to 16 feeds, 4x4. But of course, here on the top picture, it's a 2x2 multi-view, if you noticed it.
That'd be hard to see, yeah.
Yeah. And you can pass the audio as well, just by choosing which source you want to send as an audio source.
Okay.
So that's to show, and it's an interesting slide because for many years now, we have been promoting the StreamHub technology as a live distribution and content sharing platform and workflow. That's the reason, by the way, we have been renaming the StreamHub product a few years ago, being Stream and Hub, because it's really what it is. And over the few years, we have been adding many features to make it even a standalone product. And here on this slide, you can see a workflow in which the StreamHub can be used as a standalone product. So here it's, for example, a workflow. You have multiple stations or affiliates and headquarters. You ingest feeds. So here it's being ingested with the rack mount unit to show, but it could be a standard MPEG-TS or standard SRT feed. And then you can have a cloud-based StreamHub, which is generating a mosaic and which is distributing content and mosaic. So here's the idea. You only have three studios here, but you could have 16 of them, for example, generate a 16-frame mosaic in the cloud, distributed to all the affiliates. And then through the web-based interface you saw before, each affiliate can choose, okay, I want feed number 5 full screen on my second channel. And this is done through a web-based interface with a single drag and drop. It's also really agnostic. So it means you can ingest other live feeds coming from other sources, even from other bonded cellular solutions, for example. And that's, for example, what those customers have been doing. So it's you have a part in French because the name is in French. It's a group of public French-speaking broadcasters like the public French television, RTBF is the one in Belgium. RTS is the French-speaking Swiss broadcaster in Switzerland, and Radio Canada in Montreal doing French content as well. And they wanted to be able to share 24/7 live content in French in that case, leveraging the public internet connectivity and the cloud. So as you saw on the previous slide, they do have a stream hub in each of the facilities, and then they do have a cloud-based stream hub, which is generating a multi-view and redistributing content. It's much more cost-effective than providing satellite feeds, and it's much easier to deploy as well. Deploying this technology is just plugging a WannaU server into your studio with the internet connection and SDI out and power, and then you have a cloud-based stream up doing the distribution, which is managed with a web-based interface in any browser. Plus, you are saving a lot on the connectivity because you are using your already available public internet connection, fiber, or whatsoever.
So Florian, one of the fears is that, you know, how could this be as reliable as satellite? And if we use the Turner Sports, the Ryder Cup as an example, we had the 16 camera feeds coming into Atlanta and 4 feeds going out. It was a 4-day, you know, event, you know, the tournament during the day, interviews at night, interviews during warm-ups in the morning. So it was around the clock. I don't think we dropped a single packet. I think the video just streamed. So this technology...
Your question is perfect about how robust and redundant it is. It's a bit out of the scope of this webinar, but I think we didn't plan any webinar on this particular question for now. But that's part of the new features and improvement we have been implementing very recently. Let me switch back to the previous slide. Here in this workflow, you don't see any redundancy. But of course, it's designed for that. And in each of the location, and especially in the cloud, you could have 2 redundant stream ups, or here they do have 4, but those could be redundant. And if you remember the manager product from AviWest, which is a centralized management interface, if you have multiple stream ups, it can also be redundant. And now you have some automatic configuration synchronization and failover as well.
Very
so
good.
That's becoming way more robust than satellite. First, you are not depending on the weather, but that's another point.
Rain fade with satellite. Yeah, satellite is not infallible. The rain fade, weather problems, right?
Yeah, it's. I've been mentioning this today because I was speaking with a customer earlier today, and in their country it's raining a lot, and they are facing some issues with satellite sometimes. But apart from the link itself, here you have a full network redundancy as well, because you can set it up on your fiber internet in your studio, but you can have 2 separate landline internet connections from 2 carriers as well if you want. And not only will it be failover, it will be bonding together. So it means it will not fail over with some freezes or a few seconds to switch. It will be fully bonded.
So dynamically balancing and switching the load, like the encoders do out in the field, the Stream Hub will do that with its broadband connection.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's the point here. And as you can see, it's both ways. So you have contribution and distribution. Mm-hmm. It's relying on the same kind of features as live contribution and the video return feed. So that's about the streamer. Now I have a last slide about 5G. I've been already talking quite a bit about 5G in the introduction, but I wanted to tell you a bit more about the impact of 5G. I won't be speaking too much on this because we are doing another webinar next week on that. So for now, it's a key subject and big subject, and we are working a lot with modems manufacturers, network carriers as well, and broadcasters. There are big talks between all of those players to see how 5G could be used in a broadcasting environment. So there are multiple subjects, like latency is a subject, but constant latency is key, even more than a lower one. Having a quality of service is key because, of course, it's great to have 1 gigabit per second, but if you are in the football stadium and you got only 400K when you are during the game, that's bad, and you don't care about having 1 gig in that case. So the benefits of 5G are completely disrupting compared to 3G or 4G technologies. Maybe some of you remember 10 years ago when some carriers mentioned 4G will bring quality of service. It really never happened, and here it's a big difference with 5G. And when I'm mentioning 5G, it's not the actual 5G you got now already, which is for now only the network part, the radio part, but it's the core network. So with 5G, you will have some network slicing, so you can book a dedicated slice of the Verizon network or the AT&T network, for example. Then you can also deploy NPN networks, I was mentioning before, non-public networks. And then you have a better efficiency as well, lower latency, higher bandwidth. But for now, it's the beginning of 5G. Deployment will take time. First, because of course you need to cover the entire country or the venues. But also because for now, it's only 5G non-standalone networks which are being deployed, meaning they are relying on the 4G core network. And those, for now, won't improve the uplink pass a lot. And you probably heard about huge bandwidths using 5G networks, but that's mostly on the downlink for now.
Right, right.
Used by broadcasters. So for now, we are still on the way to the true 5G, which will make a big change. But this 5G standalone will be launched in the coming years, and we really believe that all broadcasters, production company, should be ready, not ready to throw away their 4G equipment to replace with 5G, but be ready, but with a completely fully new workflow, introducing those remote at home production, those IP bridge capabilities, remote IP based remote control, multi-view distribution, and all this. And then when you will be ready for that, maybe starting with smaller sports production, then it will definitely move to 5G, even for tier one sports or the Ryder Cup, for example, but also whatever event you have.
Well, a common question I get, Florian, is will 5G eliminate the need for bonding? I'll just stick a 5G modem on my Sony camera and I'll be fine. I don't need bonded.
Okay, that's exactly the last point here. You got the slide before.
I did it again. I'm sorry.
That's a common question we are having all the time: is we need the SST protocol and bonding while moving to 5G? Yes, because even if you are alone on the 5G network, or even if you have your slice on the network, it's still a cellular technology. It's still a wireless technology. So it can still disconnect, it can still be overloaded by a lot of users, and keep in mind that in the coming years, you will have a lot of equipment using cellular networks, and a lot of objects being connected. So you might not need 8 modems, like we do have our existing Pro 380 units, but you will need at least a few modems, 2, 4, 6, depending on what you are achieving.
Right.
And we are also, that's not the point here, but we are having some products doing 4K UHD as the HE4000, which will be able to use much more data as well, much more bandwidth.
Right.
So those robust transmission protocol of IP will still be needed. SST is really designed for that. Keep in mind that so all the other IP-based protocols, they are designed to be used on wired IP-based robust connection like fiber, for example.
Right.
But they are not designed to be used over cellular, and they are not providing bonding. So that's why the SST protocol is key, and the SST protocol is not competing with SRT or RTMP, but more providing a gateway and an access when you are using cellular and unmanaged networks.
Well, another point that I feel too is that I don't think like 5G is going to help a show like Live PD. In my opinion, 5G, an element of it is the way it will get more throughput is through beam steering. And it's a higher frequency, it's going to be a more directional transmission. So that's how they get the higher bandwidth. So if I'm stationary and I want to take a video, the tower will beam steer a 5 gig signal to me. Now I'm in a police vehicle moving 120 miles an hour. I don't think the 5G is going to be practical in those applications. So, and as you said, they'll make more bandwidth. Consumers, machinery will suck that bandwidth up, and we'll be back again with not enough bandwidth. Right.
Yeah, you're fully right on that. Very soon, and it started already, and we did some experiment with some of our customers. 5G will be used, but in fixed location, like in a stadium for a game,
right.
or
right.
in a studio or in a venue. But then, if you are producing a show like the Live PD show, they are chasing cars in the countryside, or the Major League Fishing producing a live fishing shows in remote lakes, then those kind of production are quite far away of using 5G technologies,
right.
because they won't be widespread across the country for many
right.
years.
Yeah. Or as you mentioned, we as production people will suck up, will need more bandwidth because we're going to migrate to 4K and then 8K. So it's kind of like, I'm in Southern California. They're always adding more lanes to the freeway, and it never seems to help. It's like they find more cars to fill up those extra lanes, so they make more bandwidth. We will find a way to fill that pipe up. So I, in my opinion, I don't think bonded will ever go away. That some form of bonding will be needed in the future. Do you agree?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
So that's the end. If you want more information, of course, you can get in touch with Jim at Vidovation or myself. But you can also get in touch with our marketing team. By the way, they are the one making those slides and those series of webinars. But we are making other sessions with Vidovation, especially for the US market in different time zones. But if you want to get in touch with our CTO, Ronan, you are definitely welcome to do so. And you can also contact Samuel, with our senior product manager, who is especially in charge of all the transmitters and encoders part.
Yes, and on that note, Florian, I will be speaking on a panel, a virtual panel, for Sports Video Group on May 28th, I believe it's in the afternoon, on at-home production technology. And a big part of my discussion, I'm sure it'll be like a panel debate, but I will be talking about Avi West technology quite a bit on that panel discussion. So if you're a member of Sports Video Group, go to sportsvideo.org and you should be able to register to virtually attend that session. Also, go to our website and register for additional webinars that we're doing. We have two more on Avi West. We have one coming up on AB On Air, our wireless partner, microwave wireless solution. I'm doing another one myself on at-home production. VNova is another partner. They do transport more over a managed network. So we have a lot of content in the pipeline for you folks to learn more about at-home production, remote production, et cetera.
Yes, and if you have any question, you can still write down question. For this webinar, we will stay online a little bit if there are some questions coming in. But otherwise, you will find here our contact information. You can just drop me a line or yep. just give us a call.
Yeah, I think your presentation was so good, Florian. There's no question. So you were too thorough.
No, I hope there will be questions because it means that there are some projects moving to that, and it's really key to ask questions because this is a generic presentation, but all our customers' workflow are slightly different or completely different from one to another, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we're really willing and dedicated to adjust and provide you the best products, the best features in our products to match your requirements. So just feel free to contact us if you have any kind of questions.
You, I don't see any questions now, but we can set up a virtual go-to meeting with myself and Florian to privately discuss some of your workflow challenges and how we might be able to help. If you go to vidovation.com and the Contact Us button, you can fill out a form there to discuss, start the discussion on some of your active projects. So I think that's it, Florian. Thank you so much. I hope you stay healthy and safe in France. I hope all your family and colleagues are all doing well. It seems like on both sides of the pond, we're starting to open things up a little bit, getting back to normal. So thank you so much. And we'll look forward to seeing you a week from today. And have a good evening.
Yes, thank you, Jim.
Bonsoir. Bonsoir.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, everybody, to attend. And I wish all of you a good day. And see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Be safe. Be healthy.